Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is proud to be sponsored by Trupanion, medical insurance for pets. The last thing that we want is for our pets to become sick or injured. Thankfully, Trupanion's policy provides coverage for unexpected accidents and illnesses to take the financial stress off of a vet visit. Added bonus, Trupanion's policy includes coverage for things like pyometra, and you have the option to add a breeding rider at an additional cost. This rider can help cover your breeding pet's emergency C-sections in the event that they ever need one. And Trupanion wants to be able to support reputable breeders, which is why they also offer a free program for breeders so you can send your litters home with an offer to try out insurance. Find out more about how you can send your litters home protected by Trupanion by following the link to my partner page. And don't forget to mention, Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. And I have for you guys a pretty interesting conversation today. This is a panel discussion on the topic of specialty shows versus all breed shows and why some breeders are sort of voting with their entries on this topic and what the differences are and why it's important and what we as breeders and exhibitors and judges and everybody involved can do to make this better or to use it as a powerful tool for improving our breeds. So my guests today are very wonderful people that I am so grateful have joined us. Marcy Fine is a collie breeder. David Alexander, many of you will know, is a judge and a breeder of bull terriers. And Jason Nikolai is a breeder of Staffordshire bull terriers. And all three of these are breeds that are pretty well known for having a, not quite a split, but definitely a division of labor, if you will, in terms of liking to show their dogs, if not exclusively, primarily at specialty shows. So welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. And can we have the 411? We'll start with Marcy. I started with you in the introduction, so you get to go first. Ladies first.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I have had two breeds of dogs, basically, rough collies under the Overland prefix and Sundown under the Belgian Sheepdog prefix, of which we are the all-time top breeder in the history of the breed for both Belgian Sheepdogs and collies. And I currently am licensed to judge rough and smooth collies and the three current Belgian breeds, Sheepdogs, Treviranes, and Malinois.
And do you get to have Lakenois when they come in?
I'll have to apply for them just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else, right? Okay.
That's correct.
Excellent. Okay, David.
Well, very briefly, I've been a bull terrier breeder for 40 years now. And Carolyn and I have been in it for that long. We both judge. I've now been judging for 25 years. I just received my 25-year pin from AKC just this year. And I am now up to three groups with AKC, those being terriers, non-sporting, and herding, which I've achieved in that sequence. So I guess primarily I was known and am known as a terrier-type judge, but I do those other two groups now.
Excellent. Perfect. Thank you. And Jason.
Hi, I'm Jason Nikolai. Thanks so much for having me on. Quite an honor here. I did get started in AKC confirmation a little over 30 years ago as a junior, and I had a couple breeds before getting into Staffordshire Bull Terriers, and I've been in Staffords for the last 22 years now, and I've bred several dogs of note. In the past 7 or 8 years, I've had the number one Stafford in the country for the past 4 of those years, and I've bred the national specialty winner, and have, at this point, gotten my license, and I am a Stafford judge at this point. Just the one breed. So people say breed specialist. I'm not sure if it's a specialist. It is the only breed that I do judge. So that's sort of my 411.
Excellent. I love it. Okay. So a lot of knowledge here, a lot of experience. And so Lorelei Craig, I should definitely give her a shout out. The president of the Staffordshire Bull Terrier Club of America is the one who requested this topic and approached me about it and helped set it up. And it's really a fascinating conversation and one that was suggested to me, to be perfectly honest with you, some time ago, and that I should talk to John Buddy about this particular topic. And when I did his interview, I got sort of off on a tangent on something else. So this is great. And so the idea that we're talking about is that people in your breed specifically, and in a number of others, German Shepherd dogs come to mind, variety of breeds, have a real emphasis in their entries on their specialty shows and are less inclined, or if you can tell me, disinclined, to go and enter their dogs at all breed shows. So let's start with that. That is a fact. And have you guys speak to why that is a fact? And we're going to just kind of keep the same order, okay? So, Marcy, you go.
Okay, well, having rough collies, we have a very condensed show season, which is totally dependent upon the cycles of our dog's pitching coat. So our show season generally runs from January to maybe the first week in May, if you're lucky. And during that time, we have specialty shows almost every single weekend. So we have, during that time, maybe Novi, Kentucky are the only all breed shows that are even on our radar as far as going to them. So it kind of is a two-prong thing in that the most bang for our buck is going to specialty shows where they're generally our majors. Not always, but generally.
Right.
And the other 8 months out of the year at all breed shows, I can give you a handful of shows that there might be majors because we know you go to this show because where all the handlers go, because there would be majors that weekend if it's in the middle of the summer. So you have this working against the all breed shows, as well as we are a head breed. Now, I know a lot of the terrier judges say they're head breeds also, so we're not the only head breed. But the all breed judges have a tendency to not touch our dogs' heads. Now, I'm sure they were taught when they first got their license, but somewhere along the line, it's lost its way, shall I say.
Lost in translation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Marcy, what you're saying is that judges who don't have their focus on your breed are missing some of the head details that you feel define your breed specifically, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
They place no significance at all on our heads. Now, there are a lot of enlightened all breed judges, and there's some very good all breed judges that they kind of get what expression is. They don't really know head detail, but they know a pretty face from an ugly face.
Mm-hmm. All right, David. Your thoughts on this topic?
From the perspective of the Bull Terrier community, it really has to do with the prestige of winning. And what I mean by that is if you have a win at a show that you really value the competition and value the opinion of the person, i.e. the judge that's making the decisions, that has much more meaning for you than it does if you just are a regular show that competition isn't very good or there's not that many dogs.
Right.
So I started to talk about Raymond Oppenheimer, who was very influential in Bull Terrier breeds, both in the UK and here. And Raymond pushed the idea of having a second level of competition, if you will, which became implemented in the Bull Terrier world as a recognition of merit. And that ROM system is controlled to this day by the National Bull Terrier Club. Now, what it meant simply was that as far as Raymond was concerned, the championship in the U.S. was much cheaper and much easier to attain than was the championship in the U.K. And that probably is still the case. So what Raymond was keen to have happen in this country, which would help, in his opinion, with the promotion and development of the breed, was a second level of competition, this ROM show. And so that ROM system has continued to this day. It's administered, as I said, by the National Club. And only breeder judges or those judges that are approved by the National Club can award these ROM points. As of today, there are only 3 non-breeder judges that are allowed to do that in this country. And so that has been just a recent development, but it's something that the National Club is somewhat reluctant to expand because it still considers that the opinion of the breeder judges is and has been helpful in the development of the breed.
Right.
So that's the essence of the ROM system, and that's why I think the Bull Terrier people are keen to continue with the ROMs and the specialty shows, because they consider that it has been advantageous to the development of the breed.
And you can only earn those ROM points at specialties, is that correct? Or only under breeder judges?
Well, at specialties, because right. the breeder judges are approved by the National Club to judge those specialties.
Right.
But of course, as we know, they can be held in conjunction with an all-breed show.
Correct. Good.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
So, hey, crew. New year, new decade. Let's have some new Pure Dog Talk promos while we're at it, shall we? All right. Our patrons group continues to grow and thrive. It's like the NPR of dogdom. It's so cool. And Pure Dog Talk offers you, my loyal listeners, an opportunity to get in on the fun. Pure Dog Talk patrons are invited to join a closed Facebook chat group just for you. And I promise you, no drama mamas, no keyboard warriors, just fabulous, supportive, Pure Dog Talk fans. That's it. Each month, I pick a photo submitted by our patrons group to be the cover image on the Facebook page. You guys have seen it. And anybody with a quick question gets immediate feedback from moi personally, as well as input from the array of patron group members. Pretty fun. The patrons group also gets first dibs on podcast topic suggestions. So if you have something you want to hear about, that's a good way to do it. And to celebrate the new year, I'm adding a whole new technological challenge to my life. Oh my God. I will be hosting Facebook Live discussions for patrons only on the final Monday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time zone.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Y'all join us from wherever you are, but that's when they'll be. Just a few of our planned topics of conversation include advertising on a shoestring budget. Yeah, trust me, we can talk about that. Campaigning a special just for runner handlers. Problem solving the stack. Tricks of the trade for grooming, like what products do I like or anybody else like. Open mic Q&As, all that kind of stuff. What you guys need to know is that the generosity of Pure Dog Talk's patrons is literally what keeps the MP3s running here. The money is set aside exclusively for overhead and operational expenses. That's it. Now, I'm incredibly grateful to our corporate sponsors. You have no idea. They have the dedication to purebred dogs and the resources to ensure that Pure Dog Talk remains a powerful voice for purebred dogs. But you guys, y'all believed in this mission, and you've supported it from the beginning. You are the heart and soul of my crusade to provide all purebred dog lovers a constantly growing, challenging treasure trove of knowledge in a 21st century format.
Like a real world.
So, just click the Be My Patron on Podbean button on the website. It's quick, it's easy, it's secure. And I hope to see all of you on the next Facebook Live chat. All right, Jason, speak to us.
So I have a little bit of a background in sort of starting some of the, I almost want to call it a breed specialist movement, I suppose, in our breed and the Staffords in this country. We didn't have our first national specialty until 1990. So we don't have that much history with specialists.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
1990 was the first Staffordshire Bull Terrier national specialty. So there were a few shows that we had with breed specialists in the early 90s. And in the mid-90s, A couple of us started a club, the Potomac Staffordshire Bull Terrier Club, and we had noticed a huge difference between, I don't want to say type of dog, because I think type is a misuse of the term, but the style of dog that was consistently winning under AKC all-round judges versus the style of dog that was proper under English judges and the ones that were winning in their home country, in their home territory. This group of us had gone to the UK many times and had gone and done much of our research on the breed in the United Kingdom because the numbers were just quite a bit lower in the United States. And the huge gap, the huge difference in the style of dogs. And so to sort of mimic the system that they had in the UK, and they still have today, last year there were 39 championship shows for Staffordshire Bull Terriers. All 39 shows had breeder judges. There was not a single show that was judged where challenge certificates were awarded that was not a breeder judge.
You're talking in England there. Okay.
I'm talking in England.
Right.
So we sort of started that regional club with that model in mind. And we didn't have but a small handful of breeder judges in the United States at the time. And so we were importing judges. We were bringing judges over from England, from Australia, from South Africa as well. And it sort of caught on. People didn't know at that point about the prestige or about valuing it at that point. David had mentioned the value and the prestige. That came later. As the Potomac Club grew, then we had people that were driving from 1,000 miles away to come to this show in the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. And so more of these regional clubs started popping up and said, you know what, we can do the same thing. And then pretty soon we've got a club in Chicago, and they're bringing over judges from mm-hmm. the U.K. and especially judges from Australia and these other parts. Then a club in California pops up. And so now in 2019, we've had 25 breeder specialist shows that have been officiated by a breeder specialist, either a foreign judge or now, thankfully, in 2019. I say thankfully because I think it is a positive move. We've doubled the number of breeder judges in this country in the past year.
Okay.
We've gone from 6 to 12. It's not
yeah, it's still, it's a small breed.
Well, when you think of it, the original purpose of a dog show is to choose the best breeding stock. And it comes down to the basic question of who do you want doing that for you? You know, who's in charge of the breed? It was about, I think for us anyhow, when we started this movement to have breeder judges, it was sort of like taking back ownership of our breed. Because a dog that goes out there and is campaigned every weekend and could win under judges that really don't know that much about the breed or don't care that much about the breed, or as Marcy says, there's something extremely important about your breed, but they're overlooking it. A mediocre dog that has a level top line, good movement, and stands four square with parallel columns of support, that'll take you a long way in the AKC.
Right.
And not necessarily having exceptional breed type. So that was the big void that we saw was, all right, this is a beautiful animal and it moves really well and it has great top line. But the big void between the dogs that were winning under all-rounders versus the specialist judges was breed type. The ones that were winning under the specialist judges had much better breed type. Maybe they were lacking in a few areas. Maybe they had a fault or two that the other dogs didn't have, but the other dogs were fundamentally lacking a breed type. And that's what we were trying to do, is bring the breed type back and take ownership of our own breed.
Okay. So, Jason, I really like what you're talking about there, and definitely the type versus style, the style that you're looking for. And let's do a little bit of a backward motion here since I have you. When you're talking about the differences that you're seeing, you're saying that it's a more generic dog that's winning at an all breed type dog show and your club wants to, you know, take ownership of the details of your breed. Can you give us a for example? For example, the dog has to have X and that was ignored because this other dog was better with Y. Can you give us that specific example? The ears have to be set a certain way, or the eye shape is a certain thing, or the cheek muscling is very important, or, you know, whatever. That's the type of thing, just a specific.
Okay, specifically, one of the fundamental elements of breed type for the Staffordshire Bull Terrier is the correct proper balance of bulldog and terrier that goes into the mix.
Right.
That is absolutely fundamental, and it is absolutely outlined 5 or 6 different ways in the breed standard. And it's absolutely ignored time and time again. And there's a huge gap there between the style of dog that is typically preferred by the all-rounder versus the breed specialist.
Okay.
And you can see it in the results in the style of dog that wins versus under specialist versus the style of dog that wins under an all-rounder judge.
Okay. David, what are some of the things that you think the breeder judges pick up on or appreciate more in bull terriers than perhaps an all-rounder with a more general perspective?
Well, in order to answer your question, I'm going to answer it slightly differently because I'm not going to, you know, nitpick what the features are that are important to bull terrier people. But what I think is relevant to this discussion is that perhaps the breed specialist knows what the real essences of type are. And if at any particular point in the development of the breed, there's something that's starting to lack or has been missing, then that becomes an important aspect of their judging. And what that can amount to is rewarding a breed feature. In other words, rewarding a subcomponent of type, if you will, and be willing to overlook maybe a fault that that same dog that you're rewarding has. And so the breed specialist is very liable to do something like that that will emphasize the real quality in a dog, the expense of maybe an overall soundness that an all-round judge might not want to overlook.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that gives you a perspective in terms of the different ways the judges look at dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as I said with my earlier comment, that the specialist type show, at least in our experience, has led to the fact that the breed has developed along very positive lines when we look for the ideal bull terrier. But of course, what that can lead to, and we need to talk about that, is extremes that can be introduced as a result of that. And that's where a moderating influence with an all-breed judge might be helpful in the long term.
Right. And that's definitely one of the areas I want to explore a little bit. Marcy, can you add anything to this in terms of, you know, AKC tells us when we start to judge, emphasize the virtues, don't fault judge, you know, really focus on the qualities of the dogs. So can you give us, you talked about the head and it has very specific planes for the collie head and very specific details. And is there one or another that is missed more often than not?
I wanted to add one point that collies, I guess we're at an advantage in that our breed type in this country is very, very different than breed type in England, in Europe, and through all the FCI countries. Our standard is even different now as far as size goes. So we don't have the disadvantage of having to bring in judges from out of the country in order to get qualified judges to judge our specialties and our nationals for breed type. So we're lucky there. We have several hundred breed judges here in this country that can judge our breed accurately. I mean, they're all not all going to be the same because everybody has a different emphasis on type. But go on with your question. I think the thing that is lost upon all breed judges is the essence of a collie is their expression. And all breed judges, I mean, they may look at the face just to say that, well, it's got 2 eyes and 2 ears, and that's about as much as they know about expression. And, you know, when I've done judges education seminars, it takes judges who are not familiar with collies a long time for their eye to get educated and to get used to what correct expression is for a collie, even though the words we have in our standard may be the same words in the standard of a Pembroke Welsh Corgi, as far as the eye and the eye set and the ears. And so they're at a disadvantage because the words in our standard don't mean the same things as the words in another standard that use the exact same wording.
Right. Standards are always a challenge.
Yes. And so I think once they get their license to judge our breed, there isn't enough time for them to learn that medium almond eye in our breed is very different from medium almond eye in the corgi breed. And I'm sure in the terrier breeds that have a very different, very set expression, some of their standards call for medium almond eyes, and they look no more alike than ours.
Right.
You've got standard poodles, for example. I have a friend of mine that does very wonderful standard poodles, and he talks about the poodles having medium almond eyes.
Right.
And, you know, they have their head detail, and they have to get in there underneath that top knot and feel the heads, but all breed judges don't do that on poodles either, you know?
Okay. All right. Thank you again for joining us. This has been part one. Watch this space. Part two will be coming up in the next week or so. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.